You glad you're saved? Say amen.
Amen.
Glad to be here this morning. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to talk this morning. Probably not about a very popular topic, but it's a necessary topic. And it's about cross bearing. This morning is the sort of the theme of today's sermon. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 through 38. And I didn't give Lloyd all the scriptures because I wanted to make sure everybody stayed today. Amen. So I'm going to give you some scripture references you can write down and go back and study later. But just bear with us for a few moments. We're going to give you what the Lord laid on our heart this morning. And then we'll go get our physical bellies fed. Amen. I think Cracker Barrel stays open until 10 o'clock. It don't matter because last time I went, I waited an hour anyway. So you'll be all right. Amen. But Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 through 38. The Bible says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it." Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to be in your house. God, we thank you for an opportunity to just share your word this morning with your people. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to follow your spirit, follow your leadership, Lord. Help us to all be submissive to the instruction of your word. Help it to change us and transform us to make us more like Christ. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so we're going to talk about cross bearing this morning. And when you talk about bearing a cross, a lot of people think of a cross as being an emblem of hope. We wear it as a piece of jewelry. We wear it as something that, you know, it's a symbolism of Christianity. But in reality, the cross means something totally different than what what common or most people would think of the cross representing. The cross is not our emblem of hope this morning. The cross is not an emblem of hope. Our emblem of hope is an empty tomb. The cross represents death and suffering and humiliation and commitment. And it is an emblem of surrender this morning. The cross is not the emblem of hope. It is the empty tomb that is our emblem of hope. And so when we as Christians begin to follow Christ, if we make that commitment to follow after that call that Christ gives to us as people, we're taking up a life of suffering this morning. And I know this is not what you would often see on an advertisement for a job. Come join our suffering. And I mean, that's not when you look for a job or an ad. Most of the time they try to fabricate it, make it like it's all great and wonderful, you know, trying to get you attracted and attentive to come fill the position. But Christ didn't do that. He said, if you follow me, you have to take up your cross and follow me. You have to take up a life of suffering, a life of sacrifice, a life of selflessness, a life of submission, a life of humiliation. He says, you take up that life and follow me. He says, he who doesn't take up his cross, he who doesn't bear that burden of the cross, he says he's not worthy of me. And then he says this in verse 39, he says, he who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. Well, that seems kind of like a contradicting statement. I have to lose my life in order to find my life. John 10 and 10 tells us that he has come that we could have life and have it more abundantly, but in order for us to have that abundant life, we have to first lose our lives. We have to first be submissive to the call of Christ, lose who we are in ourselves, and become one with Christ and walk after his ways and statutes if we desire to have an abundant life. And as we become these cross bearers, we have some things we must do as cross bearers. And number one is that we must remove hindrances that keep us from bearing a cross. It's easy to lay a cross down. It's easy to not be a cross bearer for Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 through 26, we see how Jesus responds to a hindrance that was placed in his life. It says this in the scripture, it says, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, be raised up on the third day. Now Peter took him aside and he began to rebuke Jesus. And he said, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but on man's. Now, Peter had good intentions at heart when he rebuked Jesus and said, oh, you don't have to go to Jerusalem. You don't have to suffer. You shouldn't have to go through these things. You're our leader. You're our Lord. You're our Savior. You shouldn't have to go through the cross and through the crucifixion and through pain and suffering. Peter had good intentions of trying to keep Jesus from suffering, but those intentions were not in line with God's will. And Jesus said, he said, get behind me, Satan. For thou art an offense to the things of God. You're an offense because it was God who sent His only begotten Son to die on a cross for you and I so that we could have a propitiation for our sins. And had Jesus not have rebuked Peter, and had Jesus not gone to the cross of Calvary and faced the suffering that He faced, God's will wouldn't have been accomplished and you and I wouldn't have a Savior. We wouldn't have salvation. We wouldn't have redemption. We wouldn't have sanctification. We wouldn't have a glorification to look forward to. But because Christ rebuked the hindrances of His suffering, you and I now have redemption through Christ and His suffering. And He says, God forbid, this shouldn't happen to you, but He says, get behind me. You're a stumbling block because you're setting your things on the interest of man. The interest of man are the things that satisfy the flesh. The easy path. Nobody wants to go through the thorn bush. Nobody wants to go through the briars. We want to take the path that's most traveled. Amen. We want the path that's already been tried. We want the path that's already been walked on several times. But there was a path that Christ had to take that no man had ever taken before. And it was not going to be an easy path. It was going to be a path of suffering. And then Jesus takes this opportunity to teach His disciples. He says this. He says to His disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. So in the same way that Christ must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things, if we are to follow Christ, we must follow Christ in that same suffering. We must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. He says, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. And so there's a reward for our suffering. There's a reward for us being cross-bearing Christians this morning. The next thing we have to consider when we take up that cross and we follow that command to follow Christ is we have to be willing to carry our cross forward. Forgetting the things of the past, forgetting the things that are behind us. Philippians 3 and 13 through 14 says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, as many as are whole, as many as are complete in Christ, have this attitude. And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. And so here we see Paul writing to the Philippians. And Paul, there's three things that I outlined here. There's three P's of Brother Paul here in Philippians. And that's one, that Paul had persistence in his walk. Paul said, I press on. I got my cross and I'm moving forward with my cross. He said, I can't go back to the things I used to do. I can't go back to the things I used to know. I can't let live under that condemnation. Amen. I can't live under that guilt and shame and fear. I can't live in that lifestyle. He said, I've got to be persistent and press on. And we know Brother Paul had a past. Amen. You can look at your neighbor and say, I've got a past. Some of y'all ain't being honest this morning, but everybody would be honest this morning and say, I've got a past. Amen, I've got a past, but I've said this before. I heard Brother Tim said this. He said, every sinner's got a past, and amen, and every saint's got a past, and every sinner's got a future. Amen, every saint's got a past, and every sinner's got a future. And Paul knew that, and he says, I got to press on toward the mark of the high calling. Not only is Brother Paul persistent in his walk with his cross, but Brother Paul had the past, and then Brother Paul knew that he had a prize. Brother Paul knew that if he carried the cross forward, he could walk toward the prize and reach the mark of the high calling. We're all in a process of sanctification. We are in the process of being sanctified, being washed, being cleaned daily. We are being washed by the water of His Word, by the Holy Spirit, through prayer and communion with the Father. And one day we're going to be in a process of glorification. But we hadn't got there yet. Like Brother Paul said, he says, it's not that I've already obtained it. He said, but I'm working towards it. I'm getting there. Amen. And one day we're going to make a transition between this vessel that's being sanctified, and we're going to take on a glorified vessel. Amen. And then it's going to be worth it all in the end. The prize is going to be worth the path. And the next thing we have to do, removing the hindrance, forgetting the past. And then we're staying on path this morning. Proverbs 4 and 23 through 27. We got our eyes on the prize. We're staying on the path. It says this in Proverbs: watch over your heart with all diligence. If you highlight in your Bible, as I go through this, I want you to highlight or underline all the action words. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the spring of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left, but turn your foot from evil. We have a responsibility as Christians to do these things. These things don't happen naturally. This proverb is full of action verbs that you and I must put into practice as Christians. We have to stay on path with effort this morning and the help of the Holy Spirit. When we get on this path, we realize that this path is not a broad path. Y'all know the scripture that says that Matthew 7, 13 through 14, enter through the narrow gate. It's a narrow gate. Cross-bearing is not a broad... There's not a broad path for us to carry our cross on. But there's a narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through that gate. But the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. And I think we could see that. You could turn on... I don't want to get too deep into the politics and news, but you could turn on the news and you can see the catastrophe and just the unnumberable amount of people who get caught up in all this ruckus and chaos and all these confusing movements that are going on around us. And all I can think about is this broad path. I can see it, just a broad path. And there's many that enter in that way. But there's a narrow path that we have to carry our cross on. We get on that path, we stay straight to the gate, and we carry our cross with the few who are with us. There's another thing we consider when carrying our cross. We find in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, there's a time to start carrying your cross. You know when that time is? Immediately. Now. Today is the day to pick up your cross. As soon as Jesus calls, it's the time to pick up your cross and carry. You say, and I don't like to use scare tactics, but this is the reality of the world we live in. This is the reality of salvation. Jesus may only call you one time. And I'm not saying He's not a merciful God, and He's not a graceful God, and His grace doesn't extend beyond our need. I'm not saying that at all. But He's only required to call you one time. He may never call you again. And when He calls us, start now to follow Him. Matthew 4 and 18 through 22 says, now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, His brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And He said to them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. The Bible says, immediately they left their nets and followed Him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. There's a significance there because these men left their livelihood. They left their father, whom the law would have said, well, you're supposed to honor your father and your mother. You're supposed to stay by their side. Yet they forsook all and followed Jesus. And I think that's an alignment with what Jesus says. Is that if you love father and mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. And that's a hard pill for some of us to swallow. But Jesus wants our full devotion. He wants all that we have and all that we are when we take up our cross and follow Him. And that's the next point, is to forsake all and to devote all that we have. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62 says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I'll follow you wherever you go. You got that attitude when you first start out, I'll follow you wherever you go. And then Jesus says this. He says, well, the birds have nests and the foxes have holes. He said, but the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head. And that's the end of the conversation. We don't say, you know, it doesn't say that the guy started following. If in fact he probably turned and said, well, hang on, let me just second guess. Let me rethink what I just said. Because when he realized that there was going to be commitment and suffering and loss, he was speechless. And that's the way it leaves us sometimes when we realize the amount of loss we take. And you can say what you have, what you want to, but when you decide to follow Christ, you're taking a loss to the things of this world. But He's going to give you more than this world could ever offer. You may not see an immediate return. You may not ever see it in this life. But there is a reward for following Christ Jesus, for releasing the things of this world. There's another guy in this passage in verse 59. He said to another, follow me. But this guy said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. Now, there's some who would say that there's a possibility that this man's father hadn't died yet. That he wanted to go back home, wait till his father died, receive his inheritance, and then he would follow after Christ. He wanted to do that first. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. And then there was another man who also said, I'll follow you, Lord, but first, permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one having, after put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Nothing else is to be first in the order of priority when it comes to following Christ. Nothing else. I've heard people, and they've told me this, give me this advice, and there is a balance. You got to make sure you make time for family. But my commitment to God is my first priority, because that's the commitment God's called me to. That's the cross that God has called me to carry. Amen? He says, don't go back to your father's house. Don't go back and say goodbye. He says, follow me first. Follow me first. And all these other things will come to you. So he tells us to give up everything we have for the cross. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22 says this. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? This man has a desire. He has a concern. There's a void or an emptiness in his life. And how do we know that? Because he asked a question. Most of the time, we got a question, that means there's an emptiness behind the question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And there's a lot of people today that are looking for life. They're looking for fulfillment. That's why people do the bizarre stuff that they do. We had a conversation earlier about why people do drugs and things like that. It's because there's an emptiness in their life, and they're trying to fill that void with something. Just something, anything to make me feel alive. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? He's got a desire. And Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good except for God alone. And then he says this, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. We got a list of our own. Amen. We got our own list of rules. But all these rules, you know the rules. And he said, but teacher, I've kept all these things from my youth up. Yet he still had a desire. Because sometimes keeping the rules isn't enough. Right, yeah. You can live by the law, and it's not going to fulfill that void in your heart. Because we can't live up to the standard of the law. There's going to be an emptiness. When we try to earn God's grace and earn God's love through our human efforts, we will always come up empty. This man, he says, I've done all these things, yet he still desired more. And looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said, one thing you lack. You're right, you've done all these things. You've attended church since you were birthed on the back pew. Amen. And you're working your way up. One day we're going to have you in the front. Amen. You're graduating. Amen. And you've stayed in this thing your whole life. Amen. You've been to Sunday school. You've got certificates. You got there's a saying, you got more degree than the thermometer. Amen. You have done this thing right. You know the rules. You know how to play the game. You know how to dress the dress, walk the walk, talk the talk. You know how to be a Christian. You have figured it out. But one thing you lack. This is what Jesus says. Now I'm going to point something out. He said, one thing you lack, go and sell all that you possess. Give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Now, we would have said something different, like, well, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you of all your unrighteousness. We would have said something like that. Jesus wasn't telling this man that his works would satisfy his need. What Jesus is pointing to here is evidence of a heart change. He says, "You go say, if you can do this, if you can let go of your worldly possessions and come follow me, that's evidence that there's been a change in your heart." But this man says this, or the Bible says this, but at these words, he was saddened. He was saddened by the thought that he had to lose material things to follow Jesus and obtain eternal life. And the Bible says he went away grieving. For he was one who owned much property. He had a lot to lose, so he thought, but he lost a lot. When he rejected Christ to follow after the riches of the world, he lost it all. He was unwilling to release a temporal crown and bear a temporal cross. And so he lost an eternal crown. He had plenty, but he left in want. And there's a question that comes to mind. What's important to you this morning? What's the one thing that you couldn't let go of? What's the one thing that you cling to? When Jesus says, follow me, pick up your cross, what's the one thing that you wouldn't consider losing? You say, I don't know, preacher. I think I'd drop it all. I wonder how many of us would really and truly drop it all and follow Christ in a real way. Not in a fake way, but in a real, authentic relationship with Christ. What's important to us? There's a story in the scripture. I'm going to read it to you and I'm going to explain the point. I'm going to draw out of it. Luke 10:38-42. It says, now as they were traveling along, he entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. You got so many things that you want to do and hold on to, but only one thing is necessary. What's that one thing? That's to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's, we can lose it all and have Jesus, and that'd be all we need. One thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. We should love our Savior more than we do our service. And this is exactly what we see here. There's a woman who thinks that her service and her deeds and all these material things that she has and can do is going to win the love of Christ. But that Christ loves us despite of us this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise God for it. And so when we bear the cross of Christ, we bear the cross for Christ and not for ourselves. Martha wasn't concerned so much about Jesus as she was herself. Lord, I'm doing this by myself. Do you not see how I'm being treated? Do you not see how I'm suffering? Do you not see how I'm you know, her attention was on herself. And so when we bear the cross, we bear the cross for Christ and not for ourselves. And we do it with a full-hearted service. And then there's an outcome. When we give up all that we have and carry the cross, there is a reward. In Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, the Bible says he entered into Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. And I think we all know and are familiar with Zacchaeus, aren't we? He was a wee little man. Amen. Yeah, if y'all, we had a story the other day. So if you've ever been to VBS, you've heard the story about Zacchaeus, right? But he was a chief tax collector, so he was famous. Amen. Everybody loved him. He was, you know, wanted to be just like him when they grew up. He was a tax, yeah. He was a tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead, climbed up in a sycamore tree in order to see him. For he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and he came down, and the Bible says he received him gladly. Amen. Zacchaeus said, "You know what? This man's got more to offer than anything I've ever stole from anybody." And so he throws that weight off, and he grabs a cross. And he starts to gladly follow Jesus. When they saw it, they all began to grumble. I know these were Baptist church folks. But amen. You mean tell me that shorty just got saved? Oh, stunt, he stole my money and everything. He done got saved and they let him into church. He's up there singing with the choir. You know how we do sometimes. Can't believe that preacher shook that man's hand. But they grumble. They grumble and they start saying, "He's going to be a guest of a man who is a sinner." Well, let's retract that and say, "He's going to be a guest with a man who was a sinner." So they didn't realize all they saw was wee little Zacchaeus coming out of the tree after he just got through robbing half of them. Amen. Probably just went through there and collected some taxes, climbed up in the tree. All they saw was a man come down and go eat with a man. But what they didn't realize is that when he threw off that weight of, and he threw off that desire for worldly things and he picked up the cross of Christ, he is no longer who he used to be, but he's been transformed, he's been changed, and now he's no longer a sinner, but he's a saint. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I'll give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I'll give back four times as much." And so these works, again, these works are not an effort to gain salvation. They're an evidence that he's already obtained it. And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And so we see there's a reward in being a cross bearer for Christ. Mark, remembering back to Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. There was a character that we mentioned earlier who had a desire. He knew the command. He kept the commandments, but he rejected the cross. You know, we can know the commands. We can keep the commandments, but we can reject the cross of Calvary and of Christ and not gain anything. There's a contrast between both men in Mark chapter 10, 17 through 22. Both of these men were zealous. Both of them were excited at first to see Jesus. Zacchaeus received him gladly. The other man was zealous about seeing Jesus. One was willing to lose it all. He was willing to lose his life so that he might gain it. But the other was hesitant. He withheld and he walked away sad. There's a greater burden in not carrying our cross than the burden of our cross. There's a greater burden in not carrying our cross than carrying the burden of our cross. While we stand on our feet this morning, I'm going to give you one last verse to think about. Because, you know, you think about cross bearing, you think, man, I don't know that I can bear the cross of Christ. I don't think I can do it. It's going to be too much. It's too heavy. I'm not prepared enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I hadn't prayed enough. Jesus has this to say to those who are in this place of contemplation. He says this in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The weight of the law, the weight of sin, it's unbearable. It'll crush a man. But the yoke that Christ places on us, He says it's light. He says it's easy. It's a yoke of grace. And His grace is sufficient. His grace is the kind of grace that I don't have to work for. You know, we got to work for everything else. You know, they taught me a saying in school. It's been a few years ago. But I ain't getting no closer either. But okay, maybe a couple weeks ago, whatever. But they said there's no such thing as a free lunch. Now, a lot of people forgot that. But most people work hard for what they've got. I mean, there's not much that's free in this life, but there is one thing that is free, and that's the love of God.
Amen.
He freely gives it to us despite of who we are. And so if you're contemplating whether or not you want to take up that cross, He says it's light. He says it's an easy burden to bear. It's a lot easier than the weight of guilt and shame and humiliation. It's a lot easier to bear than the weight of sin, the weight of fear, the weight of faithlessness. There's a lot of weights we bear as men and women, but there's a weight that Christ will put on us, and that's the weight of His love. And His love is light. His burden is easy. While we sing a song of invitation, won't you come this morning? He says, come immediately. Don't think about it another second. Come immediately while we sing.